prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Worthy is our God. Worthy is our God. It took a great and a mighty God. It took a holy God to do what He has accomplished. And for reaching down to mankind in our lost estate, that's greatness. Men sometimes mark greatness in different ways. But God's greatness, when you and me were helpless and had no way of escape, while we were enemies, God sent His only begotten Son to die for us, and He forgave us. That's greatness. That's how we mark greatness. It's not money. It's not the accomplishments of one's life. It's not political office. I know we can use the word great to describe men's achievements, but true greatness is when someone reaches down to someone who's helpless, someone who is not really, truly, even by their actions, deserving help. And He reaches down to where they are and is touched by their grime and touched by their stench, goes to the leper, goes to those that are maimed and halt, sheep that were contrary and obstinate, and He goes down to them and says, I've come to help you. When we could never help ourselves, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So thank the Lord tonight for the greatness of our God. Are you happy tonight, and I know you will be and are, that God has the capacity to speak to us? And are you glad tonight that He has made us where we can have the capacity to hear Him? We read in Genesis where after Adam and Eve transgressed, the Lord came down in the cool of the evening, and however that sound was, Adam and Eve heard it and they fled from it. You read that account, and to me it gives me a thought and the belief that that was not an uncommon occurrence, that the Lord had a habit of doing that, that He came down and spoke with Adam and Eve in the language that they understood. And since there was no sin and no need of repentance, that language was, and that speaking was unique to Adam and Eve. They were probably at this point the only, and to even till today, the only people that would had that intimacy of never knowing sin. You and me have known sin. You and I have all sinned. We've never known what it was in that sense to never have known sin. Therefore, to be as an infant, totally innocent and free in the Lord. I have to imagine those conversations, had they been recorded, would have been quite beautiful. Romantic, perhaps, even in a sense. So touching, so filled with an exchange of love that there was no hiding or no anything to pervert it. I'm glad the Lord did not cease His desire to talk with mankind. There was a man named Abraham. The country was heathen, pagan. One of their primary gods of Abraham's area and Ur was the moon. And I'm sure there were others. And I don't know really if Abraham worshipped in that vein or not, but that was the national community religion anyway. But one day, he, maybe over a series of days, the Lord began to speak to Abraham. And that's not the only occasion. Later on, the children of Israel, well, he spoke to Abraham many times, numerous times, we know that. Then there was a time that the children of Israel were down in Egypt's bondage. And Moses was out in the desert. And the Lord communed with Moses and gave Moses instructions as to what he was to do. He allowed Moses to reason with him, and then he told Moses what to do. They got out of Egypt, and they went into the wilderness, and Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and the Lord communed with him there, and with his own finger wrote in tablets of stone the commandments he had for his children. We can go through the Bible and look at the prophets of Isaiah, Amos, Hosea, all those men of old that God was faithful to commune with. And God was faithful to have them write it down, and much of it is saved for us today. But he speaks also about a fullness of time. Back in the garden, he prophesied of one that would bruise Satan's heel. Or Satan's head, excuse me. And in the fullness of time, God saw that the spiritual time was right. I believe the historical time was right. The language time was right. The commerce was right. There was ways to get about and spread this word. And in the fullness of time, God sent a very, very special messenger. It's been the last messenger as far as the prophets and those things go. And we read about that in Hebrews tonight. And I want to think a little of that. And it may it help you and me honor and reverence the Son of God. This one who has been sent in the last days to expressly express the will of the Father for us. Psalmist said, "Kiss the Son, lest the King, or lest he be angry, and his wrath is kindled but a little, and you perish out of the way." There's a grave danger in not hearing God when he speaks. There's a grave danger when Noah was to build the ark had he have not listened to God. Noah was at risk had he not have listened. God told Moses and he told Solomon, you build the temple and the tabernacle exactly as I have commanded you. He has talked to man down through the ages of time, and it is imperative that man listen to him. Tonight, it's no different. And we need not look for another. We need not look for another dispensation. But in the last days, which is prophesied about throughout the Bible, here's what he said. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Thank God for that. And we still glean from that, and we still worship God based in part upon what the prophets relayed to us. The commandments of God, we begin to understand God as we read the writings of Moses. As we look upon the Ten Commandments, it shows us not only God's expectation for us, but it also demonstrates God's character of what's important to Him. As we read the law of Moses, some of it is a very practical application, yet it denotes the sanctity of God, of brotherhood, of goodwill, of charity, of hospitality, of treating one another with kindness, not taking usury of one another. Those were not just abstract and laws that popped into Moses' head. That is what God's expectation for us and man is based on His own character. It displays to us the kind of God the Father is. Not exacting from one another a usury or taking advantage of one's position. To be a friend to the fatherless. To help your enemy. To do those things that would show honor and glory to God. To me, the law, along with it being a schoolmaster, it taught us the character of God. He loves holiness. He loves righteousness. He expects us to not have anything before us and Him, before Him. He expects us to honor our parents. We've been studying some about that in this congregation. Because as we learn to honor our parents, it teaches us how we are to honor God. So the law and the speaking of the warnings was an outpouring of God saying, I love you. Don't do this to yourselves. Please return. He said, I'll heal your backslidings. The law and the prophets demonstrated to me the character of God. And as I want to know, how would God behave? What would God do? How would God want me to behave? Read the Bible. It's God speaking to me and to you. Now in these last days, something very glorious has happened. And I'll not be able to, with these, my few abilities, demonstrate in word how great this unique happening was. But God visited us. God came among us. God dwelt among us in fleshly form, Emmanuel. The Word that is so vital and honored of Himself became flesh. We saw it. They saw it. They held it. They handled it. They ate with Him. They actually saw Him do what He did. This great and holy one is called Jesus, the Word of God, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by His own image, by His own person, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. I remember Brother Murphy Allen told us one time in a conversation or in a message, and I would imagine those of you who have been around Brother Murphy probably heard him say this too, but he was speaking about new converts and people that were not versed in the Bible. And he said his advice to them was, start at Matthew and read through John. And understand that. And understand the words of Jesus. I want to say to us tonight, we cannot overemphasize the study of the Word of God. And the vitalness of what God said on the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye Him. Speaking to us, hear Him. Now, not just sounds. Get the message. Get the intent of what God wants for us. Understand that when He speaks for our welfare and for the common good. He speaks for the progress of His glory and the glory of the church. When He speaks, it is life, He said, it is spirit. And we need then to have, and He cried out, give us ears to hear. That we might be able not just to hear the words and the sounds, but that we might get the message. To get the message, we've got to apply ourselves. We've got to stay at the altar. We've got to stay in a submissive mode, a hungry mode. We've got to understand that God is speaking to us through Jesus Christ and the life that He lived. And he has appointed him. And these words are written, I believe, probably lower than what Jesus really is. Because we are human, and he had to communicate the grandeur and greatness of Christ some way that we could perceive it. God the Father, Jesus who is God in the flesh, has appointed Jesus Christ, the absolute heir, the inheritor of all things. So all things that belong to God belong to Jesus. Now, when he said, "Hear ye him," that puts an importance to me on what Jesus has said. You can look over into the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us who's blessed. All of us want to be blessed, don't we? Then hear what the Son says. We all have times that we feel like we've been misrepresented or mistreated. He said, "Turn the other cheek." There's times when we don't understand how to what at length we ought to go when someone is requiring something of us. He talked about go with him twain. He said, if someone wants to borrow your coat, give him your cloak also. Hear ye him. Teaches us how to conduct ourselves in a very adverse society, in a very confusing place. I don't know, I've never seen the laws of Oklahoma in one stack. But I guarantee you, it'd be a big stack. And I've never seen the stack of all the laws of the United States of America. But I would promise you tonight, it'd be a big stack if it was written on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, single space, front and back. It would be a big stack of papers. And you know, the Lord brought it down as you would have men do unto you, do you also unto them. Now, folks, we can get that one, and we can understand it. How to treat each other. He's spoken to us. We live in a world of adultery and all kind of perverted lifestyles. He told us to guard our eyes and to guard our ears. We understand that. But it's very necessary that we hear what he has to say. You see someone hurt, injured, spiritually hurt, physically hurt. There was the righteous man, so-called, on both ways, and it went past. A Samaritan who was kind of looked down on, not meet to give the children's bread to the dogs, that type of thing. And the Samaritan went and knelt down and poured in the oil. And Jesus said, now which one of these three did the will of the Father? Did right. Obviously, the one that helped. And he told you and me, go do likewise. Just go do that. Today, let us hear Jesus Christ. He said to you, and what he said to a group of people, and it came down to us, if we die in our sins, where he is and where he was to go, we can't be there. He told you and me that we must be born again. We can't continue on in this selfish flesh. We've got to be born from above. Hear him. Listen to him. He's made him the heir of all things, who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, the very image that we know of the Word of God is an image of God. That's the reason the law that is often spoken like, oh, that's the law's not in effect. I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. Because Jesus said every jot and tittle would be fulfilled. Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The law could not work the work that His blood worked, but He did not just cast out the law when it comes to the righteousness and the holiness of God. He established that. And He is the expressed image of the lawgiver. He is the expressed image of that one to whom you and I will answer to. Should we not hear Him? Should we not listen to Him? It behooves us then, for our soul's sake, to listen to Christ, to listen to God. Because when we stand before the august majesty of God, and I know I'm putting this in human terms, we don't know exactly how that will be, and we give an account of the deeds done in this body, they will be measured against His Word and His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to teach us, to show us, and manifest the will of the Father to Him. So the Father said, Moses was important, and he had his place. Elijah was important, and he had his place. But this is the one. John said, this is the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. No other created being, no other spiritual being ever had that designation given to them. Kiss the Son, reverence the Son, honor the Son, live for the Son, obey the Son, worship the Son, follow the Son, honor the Son, sacrifice to the Son. Give our lives to the Son. Allow Him to save us and wash us and follow Him in all things. Not haphazardly, not weak-willed, but with all our heart, our soul, our body. He is the brightness of His glory, of God's glory. He is the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by His power. And when He Himself had purged our sins, this Savior, if you will, the Word made flesh, He went, and it said here, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank God tonight, when you read the Bible, you read about Jesus. When you read in His Word, He teaches us how to live. So now we're without excuse. But you know, I'm confident that He meant for it to be a happy experience. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be rich. We heard last Sunday night, the Bible speaks about our joy, real joy, that it be full. And He said, the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said this, it's our strength. Jesus Christ came to set us at liberty and bind up the brokenhearted and the wounds that sin had imposed on us. He is so wonderful and so gracious. He came down and gave His life, as unworthy as we are and were. May the Lord help us tonight to worship Him, to hear Him. In these last days, there's all manner of voices going around, all kind of sounds, all kind of philosophies. Don't start forming opinions on your own. One of the dangers of having a mind and being able to think is sometimes we let it get out of hand. Have you ever seen someone do this? Have you ever done this yourself? In the face of truth, be it the Bible, or be it the judge, or be it the sign on the road that says 55 or 65 or 75, be it in a home, in a conversation, have you ever seen someone, or maybe been guilty of it yourself, in face of authority and the final say-so in something, and maybe be caught a little short, or be in error, or in contradiction, maybe even in a nice way, if you ever heard someone say, but I think, have you ever thought, about that. Did you say we do it or you hear it? I'm not condemning us because I do that too. But be careful. When it comes to the valuable things of my soul, folks, we better hear what Jesus has to say. We've let I thinks get out of hand. We can argue with the judge and go to the jailhouse and get the bar slammed on us and hold on to them and say, but I think. It doesn't do you much good, does it? I'm not discrediting thinking. By all means, think. But what happens to us is we think that we can think for God. And we think our thinking is outthinking what God's already thought of. Hear ye him. When it comes to a decision, and not an easy one, because some of them in life aren't, and we know what the Bible says. We know what the people are saying. And we know what we want to do. Be very careful. Watch out. Because we're liable to say, I think. Little yellow flag, red flag should go up because we've just interjected human reasoning into something that God's already given us an answer for. Double marriage is one of those areas. I think God did not intend for me to be alone. I don't think it's right that I've got to be without a companion. Be careful. Be careful. I don't think so-and-so, so-and-so. What does the word say? I don't think they deserve it. They misused the other help we've given them. I think. All I know is when I was a sinner and had misused God, He forgave me. Now I can hear that. Lord, help us tonight. He's spoken to us by His Son. And His Son went about doing good, weeping over the sick and over the dying city of Jerusalem, longing for those who rejected Him. Hear ye Him. Forgiving those who nailed nails in His hands and His feet, spit in His face. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I can hear that, can't you? I can hear it because He said it to me. He said it to the Father for me. Hear ye Him. I find salvation puts us on that higher ground that Sister Marcia spoke to us about. But it also puts us on responsible ground. It puts us on ground that we've got to be acute listeners of the Word of God. It said of Him being made so much better than the angels, as He hath an inheritance, by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There's a teaching in the world today of Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, and maybe others, who do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and God in the flesh and God the Creator, as you and me and the Bible teaches. They believe, and I'm not a student of their religions, but they believe that He was a being who was assigned this particular responsibility. He was an archangel, maybe. He was a super angel. But He was not the Son of God or God in the flesh. But listen to what He said. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? as if to say to me, God never went through the rank and the file of the angels and said, come here, Gabriel. Come here, Michael. Come here, so-and-so. We're going to do some real close examinations, and one of you is going to be chosen. And I'm going to proclaim you to be my son. God never said that to an angel. He never approached an angel and said, I'm going to elevate you to my son and make you heir over all these things. That's a doctrine that's in the world today. That's the doctrine that Christ was an elevated angel. And it attracts a lot of people. And you'll hear in that, but I think. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. Now, when we look upon the birth of Christ and the advent, and we read in Luke, I believe it is, there was an angel making proclamations. Then the heavenly host joined in a great rapturous singing of giving honor and praise to the Son of God. All the angels are to worship Jesus Christ. He made him in the sense that he designated him, the Word is higher than all the angels. Hear ye him. Paul said it this way, if I or an angel from heaven bring you any gospel that you haven't already heard, don't listen. It was important enough to Paul that he repeated it. He said, again I say, if I or an angel from heaven, and I believe he said, let him be accursed. Don't listen to me. If you get a vision of an angel, and you may, legitimately, but if that vision of that angel contradicts the Word of God, don't listen. If you get a real good thought, but God by His Word directs you otherwise, don't say, I think. Hear ye Him. Raising a family, hear ye Him. We've got a lot of people in the world today that think too much about how to do what God's already told them to do. Hear ye Him. And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever. Thank the Lord. This kingdom that Jesus Christ built, Daniel said, it'll never be destroyed and it'll never be left to others. It's forever. And He invites us into it. He says, come, come, come. Come all of you. Come all of you that halt and lame and are hurt, injured, sinful, weak, heavy laden, sorrowful, confused, mistreated. Come to me, all you that feel the oppression of life itself and of the devil. Come and I'll give you rest. May God help us this day to hear that, and come to Him. Come in faith, come in penance if necessary, come in belief and reaching out. Paul said we can say, Abba, Father. Come expecting and believing. Hear what He said. I sometimes, flounce around too long in a place that the Lord wants us to come out of. Hear what He said. Come. Come. Come on out. Come to me with that problem. Sometimes we get a problem we think's a problem. And we say, I think this. I think that. And God's saying, come unto me. Who are we going to hear? We have a situation that arises and we start scurrying around and getting so busy trying to fix it. And God's over here in the 11th chapter of Matthew about the 28th verse saying, come unto me. There we go. I do that. So finally, we slow down enough because, you know, somebody can run real fast. And they can leave me standing in the dust. Somebody can run so fast that they just make rocks fly from behind their heels. But the other side of it is they're going to slow down. They can't run forever. They can't walk forever, and they can't crawl forever. And you and me, we get sometimes into that place. Man, we've created a little stir, and man, we've called about four or five people on the phone. We've got the children involved. We've got some of the congregation involved. We've got people just over here upset and over here upset, and after a while we're so tired. You know what? We'll slow down. But the danger is we've upset the apple cart. We've kind of already got other people in a tizzy. And Jesus, 11th chapter of Matthew, 28th verse, come unto me. Come unto me. But I'm going to fix it. I got to fix it. Little story I read one time years ago. Don't even remember all of it. But the gist of it, it stuck in my mind. The man wrote this, kind of a poignant, romantic, melancholy thought. And the gist of it was this. He said he remembered the time when he found out that his daddy could not fix everything. We all been there probably. Maybe there's a few back here in the back that happened over here. But there's going to come a place when daddy can't fix it. My boy, he's not here tonight, so I'll even call his name Craig. Couldn't get his F's quite right for a while when he was little. And it'd break, whatever it was. And he'd come to me and say, fix it, Daddy, fix it. You know, one day, I don't know when, I know he knows now, I can't fix everything. I can fix a broke wagon, maybe. Not too good on broken hearts. Broken dreams, bruised bodies. I'm not too good at that. Confusion that's in the world and sin that assaults, I'm just really not too adept at that. But I know somebody that's already told me in Matthew 11:28, come unto me. God said, hear him. He's got some good news for you. All the angels are listening and adoring him. Hear him. So I have found, if I will first go to Jesus, find out what he has to say, it'll save me a lot of trouble. Because I want to tell you, there's a lot of you that can outrun me tonight. There's a lot of you that's got more staying power than I got and can lift up more than I can tonight and smarter than I am tonight. But I want to tell you something. You start running, you're eventually going to slow down. You're just eventually going to stop. You're eventually going to sit down because you can't go any further. I think about us tonight as humans. I love us. Oh, I love us. We're so different. But God says, come to me first. First. But let's go on here. We're getting close to the end. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Here the Father has said, the scepter of God's righteousness has been given into the hands of Jesus. Or, Jesus himself is the scepter of God's righteousness. The scepter was the ensign, the insignia. It was the staff that, on the end of that staff was jewels or some kind of adornment that designated authority. And that scepter was extended to the subjects either in favor or in disfavor or withheld in disfavor. No man can come unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the scepter of God's righteousness. We are righteous in God through Christ. We are not righteous in ourselves. We are not righteous in the law, in that I can keep the law. We are righteous in that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus and have believed Him, and He has extended Jesus to us, and that's our entrance to the throne of grace. That's our entrance into heaven, into the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the door. Everything in the Bible points to Christ. Every teaching, every moral precept points to Jesus Christ. So in Christ, we have entrance in to the Most Holy. By Christ, we have entrance in to the throne of grace. By Christ, we have acceptance of the King Himself, the King of glory. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness, of joy, of satisfaction maybe, above thy fellows. May the Lord help us. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thy hands. So the earth that we stand on, and the heavens, and the stars, the planets, the moons above us, are all the works of God's hand. And they shall perish. They shall go away. But thou remainest. The one constant in life, in eternity, is God. Now, God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us tonight to kiss the Son, to reverence the Son, to honor the Son, to pay homage and respect, kiss His feet, wash His feet, obey Him, watch Him. Don't get your eyes off of Him. Read about Him. Study Him. Honor Him. Thank Him. Because He is God's righteousness extended to us. And all these things, I think this, and I think that, will perish. Good works are not enough. We must hear tonight the Son of God. May the Lord help us tonight. Jesus Christ. They were said of Him, not have this man to rule over us. He didn't. They suffered because of it. Let's you and me take lessons from that. In these last days now, in these perilous times, not to be another dispensation or another age. There will not be, based on the Word of God, a millennial reign. I don't guess any of us are counting on that, but you hear about it. And it gets kind of confusing what you hear, doesn't it? Post, pre, this, that, tribulation. Not going to be that way. Then cometh the end. One day God is going to send the Lord, a company of saints, a company of angels. There's going to be a sound, and that's it. That's it. No millennial. That's it. We must hear Him tonight in these last days. Reverence Him and pay attention. And if we do, that where I am, there you may be also. We can be with the Lord forever and ever. Pray for me.